We're joined on the phone now by Professor William Doherty. He is a family social science professor at the University of Minnesota in the College of Education and Human Development. As you know, this is a time of the year that's fraught with complications with family, with the holiday season. What are the most common problems that families run into during this time of the year?
Well, this is the time of the year when families are together more than they are at other times in the year. You know, there's some relatives who get along partly because they're not around each other all that. Right?
Yeah, that's true.
A studied distance, you know. And this time of the year, they're around each other a lot more. So just, you know, just the increased intimacy can lead to some old fights breaking out. The second thing is that this is a gift-giving season.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of pressure that particularly the people who are buying the gifts for the family run into about, you know, what they're going to get, and is it about the same value, you know, and is it the right present, and will they like it? And then the third thing is that there's usually somebody in a family who I call the holiday coordinator or the Christmas coordinator who bears the responsibility for pulling off all this complex stuff, and that person usually gets pretty burned out by the time Christmas comes.
Exactly. So why is this so hard? I mean, what is it about the holidays?
We have very high expectations. You know, all those great songs, I'll be home for Christmas, and there's nothing like family at Christmas. So more than any other time in the year, we have high expectations for how we're going to feel close to the family members, how people, you know, kids will enjoy it, and so very high expectations, which inevitably meet reality.
Mm-hmm.
And so I actually wouldn't want it any other way. I mean, it's fine to have high expectations, but I always say also what I say is have high hopes but realistic expectations.
I'll have to write that down. That's a good one. From the university, you were quoted as saying that every family is crazy in its own way. What does that mean?
Well, it's, you know, when you get people together across the generations and get in-laws together, you know, every family is pretty idiosyncratic, you know, and when I say crazy in its own way, I mean, I talk about what it's like to be an in-law, you know, going into a family. That's where you really like an anthropologist, you know, you see how different they are. So some families, the way they show they're interested in what you're saying is they interrupt you all the time. And other families don't talk much at all, you know, sort of they grunt once in a while. Or in some families, they argue as a way to be together. You know, that's how they show their respect for you, is by picking fights with you. In some families, you have a silent martyr, you know, who insists on doing everything, but won't accept help. So, you know, the list could go on and on and on, but every family has its own configuration of crazy things.
Mm-hmm. And these all sound familiar to people, I'm sure. They sound familiar to me just in the relationships I've been involved with over the years. Of course, because you're an expert on family social science and dynamics. So, what are some of the ways that people can avoid family drama this holiday season and just enjoy each other and have a good time?
Well, the first thing is you can't plan to avoid it, because you can decide not to contribute to it, but you can't plan to avoid it because you're not in control of it, right? You if your uncle Pete is going to insist on you know, if your Tea Party Uncle Pete is going to insist on sniffing out any liberals in the family and baiting them, there's not much you're going to do about that, except you could decide not to participate. But you can, let's say, with a bit more seriously, if you have somebody who has an alcohol problem, and one of the things that happens is that they drink too much and they end up upsetting people, making a fool of themselves or whatever, and it's your it's your party, you're having Christmas dinner, then what I say is why let it happen again if you can decide not to have that much alcohol around.
Okay, so
folks, you can decide to run out, and isn't it terrible that the liquor stores are closed on Christmas Day? Terrible. But you had enough wine for everyone to have a glass or two, and then you had no more. So, but instead of using this as the opportunity to confront your aunt Martha about her drinking problem, that's not a good idea for Christmas. You sort of plan on the fact that she may want to pour too many glasses, and you simply don't have enough for her to do it. That would be an example of not participating in the drama.
Right. Okay. So what I'm hearing you say is one of the ways is focusing on things that are under your control.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. What else?
Somebody baits you, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You can just decide in advance to just respond humorously. And not take the bait.
Okay. Can you give an example of that?
Well, let's say you have a male relative who sees you as the feminist in the family. Okay. And over the years he's baited you with how women can't do a good job and whatever. And in the past you've taken the bait by telling him he's absolutely wrong and blah, 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 and that maybe you've told him he's a Neanderthal, which he enjoys, because this is how he tries to connect with people, is by baiting them. But you end up not feeling too good about it. Well, this year, you can practice how you'd respond to that, but you can deflect it in some way. You know, you can always say, I guess you must be right, and
mm-hmm.
just move on. So you're not compromising your dignity on it, because everybody in the room, including him, knows that you're just humoring him. But you don't get into a predictable conflict.
Okay.
If your sister is predictably comes late for events with big dramatic stories about what happened to her, and that annoys you, well, just figure it's going to happen again and decide you're not going to let it annoy you, because you can't change her.
Right. Okay. Great advice. If you just joined us, we're speaking with Professor William Doherty. He's a family social science professor at the University of Minnesota, and we're talking about how to survive the holidays with your families. Professor Doherty, what are a couple other important things for people to keep in mind this time of year?
Well, one is that with children, is to not overstimulate children with gifts. We live in an affluent culture, even with the economic downturn, and the kids can just get overloaded and overwhelmed with presents, such that they see this only as a season of getting things. And it turns them really into kind of entitled little kids. And so I think it's an opportunity to set some limits on how many presents you get them,
mm-hmm.
to talk to relatives about that as well, and to talk with your children about the deeper meaning of the season and get them involved in making or buying presents for others. Get them involved in a charitable activity. In other words, this is ultimately a season about certain values. If you're not careful for your children, the only value that they will learn is that this is the time to get things. And so you can try to counteract that.
Okay. Well, that leads me nicely into my next question. I know that you're the author of a book called Intentional Family, Simple Rituals to Strengthen Family Ties. Can you tell us a little bit about some of those rituals and why you set them up?
Yeah, well, and the book is called The Intentional Family, so singular, the intentional family. And it's really about the everyday rituals of family life, family dinners, which, by the way, research evidence now shows are the most important single activity you can do with your children for their well-being. bedtime talks, trips to relatives. And then there's a chapter on Thanksgiving and a chapter on Christmas rituals. And again, not everyone celebrates Christmas, but a lot of families do. So I wanted to write a book that was about the common activities of family life, the things that actually give us the most memories of our childhood. Most of us hardly remember a single thing that our parents said. We don't remember that many conversations, but we remember the vacations. We remember the Thanksgivings, the holidays, the bedtime talk. We remember family meals. So my book is about those aspects of family life that I think are quite important.
Mm-hmm. And how can people take good care of themselves during the holidays so that they're, you know, kind of a better family member, no matter what their family circumstance is like?
Well, this is a great question for what I call the holiday coordinator, who's usually a woman, who is the planner, orchestrator of the holidays, the chief gift purchaser, the chief cook and bottle washer. And my advice to her, could be a him, but usually a her, is to share the load, spread it around. For instance, for a big meal like Thanksgiving meal, a Christmas meal, one holiday coordinator I know not only has people bring certain food items, but when people walk in the door, she has a hat with little pieces of paper with numbers on them. The numbers correspond to tasks. And people pick a number, and the task could be helping to set up or clean up or, you know, walk the kids around the block at a certain time. And she gets everybody involved. What we know from the research on family rituals is that the more people are involved in putting them on, the better they feel about the ritual.
Mm-hmm.
And the better the holiday coordinator will feel, because it won't all be on her.
Okay. That sounds like a really great plan, actually. Professor, is there anything else you'd like to add that we haven't discussed?
No, I think we've covered it well. It's really to return to that theme that this is a time to really not be cynical, but to not be Scrooge-like, to really hope for the best, put positive energy into the season, and also expect that your family will still be your family.
Okay, well, I want to thank you very much for your time and wish you a happy holiday season.
Thank you, and you as well.
Thank you.